Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Another lockdown? Israel is now again talking about a 10-day lockdown in order to get a grip on what is happening here with the second wave of coronavirus that we're finding ourselves in, which is even higher than the first wave, as predicted. Oh, no. Another 10 days. What would that do to us? We're going to be talking about what to do if it happens that the government says another 10 days of lockdown. And because, you know, I mean, I'm thinking personally that I'm trying to look at this as on a physical level, on a spiritual level. And on a spiritual level, I just want to say this, that whenever anything happens, there's a reason for it. If you believe in God and you don't believe in just what we say in Israel, stam coincidences, just like that, then there has to be a lesson we need to learn. And if we don't learn the lesson, then perhaps the same thing will happen to us again and again and again, until we learn that lesson. So what are we supposed to learn from this? And how do we utilize our time in this 10-day lockdown? Is it to watch Netflix all day long like many people were doing? Or is it to do some life coaching type of work on ourselves? We're going to be speaking with somebody who's going to be advising us what we could be doing and perhaps what we should be doing if, again, we're put under lockdown. Also, did you know that China and Iran have signed a military pact together? This is bad news. Both of them hate America. And for Iran, they hate Israel as well. This is not a good thing. This is not a good sign. We're going to explore what's going on there as well. Very, very many things happening outside of the United States, not just the rioting, what's going on in there, but things are developing outside the United States as well, and we're going to take a look at that. All right, I want to remind you all again that if you love Israel News Talk Radio, to consider partnering with us and helping to support us, you can go to our donate button on our website at israelnewstalkradio.com and click on the donate button. There's a bright green one on the side and on the menu bar going across there, and get your name up on the wall of fame. Read how we do it. We'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Another lockdown? What are we going to do? That's what Israel's talking about. The government's talking about a 10-day lockdown on the country in order to finally get a grip on this coronavirus. This is the second wave, and it's even larger than the first wave that we had. So what's going to happen? Many people are going to perhaps get into a depression if they're not already now. People have lost their businesses. Any businesses that have survived are going to have another hardship ahead of them. And on a spiritual level, what is it that we're doing wrong that this has to happen again? You know, I've been told that that if something keeps happening in your life, then perhaps it's because God is trying to give us this opportunity to fix it. And when we don't fix it, then the opportunity will just roll around again. You know, it's like if you have a bad relationship with someone, you keep having the run-ins and run-ins and run-ins. Obviously, we're doing something wrong and we have to fix it. So here to be able to get our lives back, or to help get our lives back on the right path, we have joining us Rivka Malka Perlman. She's a transformation coach and educator. She's the founder of Redemption Retreats and the Geula Gathering. She says her mission is to bring every woman on a powerful healing journey to personal redemption, with the ultimate goal of readying us for the global redemption. Now, when we're talking about women, I don't want this to exclude our male listeners in the audience today, because she is everything is about the family, and the family centers usually on the woman. But this is for everybody, this show, so don't tune out if you're a male listening in. Okay, so welcome to the show, Rivka Malka Perlman.
Hello, Tamar. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. So I follow you on Facebook, and you were talking about how you were kind of silent. You know, you weren't really posting as you usually do this last period of time, because you've had your own things that you're going through. And I know how, you know, how deep and sensitive your feelings are, and how you can really connect with people and with emotions and things like that. And you are a life coach. You give these retreats and class, online classes, etc. So now that, you know, people are again in the midst of a rising coronavirus, which, thank goodness, for most people, they survive it, but it's still deadly. And for some people who survive it, it could cause lifelong problems. At least that's what they think, because people who have had it and don't have it anymore still kind of have it. They've seen some perhaps damage, and people, it's depressing for people, and on an economic level as well. So where would you like to start?
Yeah, let's start exactly there. First thing, let's give a little prayer to Hashem, to God, that He be with us on this call. You have listeners from all around the world, and it is a time where we need to just understand and get some comfort and clarity. So may Hashem, God, give that to us tonight, together, or today.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I want to jump right in there. Like, the world is not what we have ever known it to be, and there's a global sense that it will continue to not be what it has been up until now. Whether it's coronavirus, more coronavirus, riots, we don't know what's in store, but we know, like you said, Tamar, God is asking us to pay attention. And what do we do? So I'll tell you for me, may I tell you what it's been like for me, and then we'll see what resonates with you and what our audience members can get from this.
Please, yes.
Okay. So I feel like in this first wave of corona, when we suddenly started to recognize that this invisible force is controlling our lives, that God is not in the synagogue, He's in our hearts, that family needs tending to, and we must be home, where we got these messages of like unity, like world unity. That was an incredible experience, as much as it was a devastating experience. For some, it was devastating. For some, it was elevating. Huge impact, though. A clear message of God-centeredness, gathering, prayer gatherings, you know, really like a, I found it, at least from the conversations that I was in, that there is a certain, like a difficulty, but also a reverence. This is when we thought that it would pass, you know, that it was like this crazy thing in the world. And then, like, I found, at least for me, like the mourning process for those who passed and those who are sick, it's very, very tender, you know, like so tender. And I ask myself, so we've done that. We ourselves, when we were able to come out of quarantine a little bit, we had a minyan, you know, a group of the prayer group on our lawn with social distancing. And it was like something very beautiful. Friday nights we did a little tefillah gathering in our living room. And, you know, my little son just like doesn't like to go to synagogue. He was there. Like he there was something to it. But it isn't over, like you said, Tamar, that, you know, when something happens again and again, there's a message here. There's more for us. So I want to look at it from that perspective. What is more for us here? Always keeping in mind the loss. You know, we can't spend a whole conversation mourning the losses, but we can speak to the living in the well and what is here for us. So here's the thing. We were born in love and for love, that Hashem loves us. But when we look at our lives, it doesn't always feel that way tomorrow. Things happen that are excruciatingly painful. The world is full of unbelievable loneliness in the hearts of everybody. Marriages are hurting. There's just a lot of depression, sadness, isolation, like an enormous amount of pain for a world that God would create and say, this is my love for you, you know? And there's an idea that what God wants is for us to create a Dira Batachtonim. That means a dwelling place for him right here on this earth. He doesn't really want to be far away in the heavens. He originally, in the Garden of Eden, he dwelled with the people. It was only after the sin that he moved to the heavens. But this earth was always supposed to be filled with godliness. So how do we connect with that godliness on this earth, with that love, when we feel so, so scared, so frightened, so isolated, you know, so in danger? And I believe that the answer is actually, as we were writing today, I think you saw that post. I believe that the answer is that Hashem wants us to take beautiful care of ourselves. Beautiful. That every act of kindness that we do for ourselves is an expression of his love. He doesn't have hands and feet, you know. He can't physically massage us. But we can do this for ourselves. And so much of our repeated pain is because we don't treat ourselves the right way. So we're in the same relationship dynamic, or the same running ourselves ragged, or the same not honoring ourselves, and we're the same ignoring our body. And when we do these acts of self-love and self-care, we actually bring God down in us, in this physical body. And, you know, when you're in isolation, that's all you got. You've got yourself. So that is my general thought, Tamar. What do you think?
I think that you're right, because, again, I don't believe that this would be happening to us unless there was a need for it. And obviously, we're not doing something right, so it's happening again until we pull it together. So when you talk about making your life, you know, in the right way, can you give us a couple of tools? We only have like another 2 minutes left.
Oh, 2 minutes for tools. Okay, if you want to fly, let go of anything that weighs you down. First thing is, you got to let go. It's a good time to let go of a relationship that is unhealthy. How do you know that it's unhealthy? I'll give you two indicators. Indicator number one, if you're with a person and you're exhausted every time, they just exhaust you, this is not good. If you're with a person and you lose your delight, you have to constantly stifle yourself, then it's a big indicator that this is not serving you. Now, sometimes you're close with people and you can't be your full self, or you can't be in delight, but then you need to do something different and not think that you need to martyr. God doesn't want martyrs and rags. He doesn't want us to be in exile anymore. He wants us to be beautiful. Beautiful, treat ourselves beautifully. So I say, number one, look at your relationships, reassess, are you doing things that make you look and feel beautiful, or are you engaging in ways that leave you a martyr? And don't think that's holy. That's like gullus talk. You know, exile is like you have to sacrifice every second. Geula, redemption, means you have a loving father who's looking out for you and only wants.
Well, let me ask you this. What if that relationship is a relationship that you can't just, you know, take out? It's not like a friend or a neighbor. It's, let's say it's a child or a husband or a parent. You can't just sever. You know, maybe this, God wants us to work on that.
Absolutely. So what I'm saying is the first step in that relationship is to take responsibility for the dance that you are dancing. How many times does a parent think, like, my teenager, they yell at me, they scream at me. Okay, but do you take it? You know, what are the things that you think you have to put up with that you don't? Change the dance to a more honorable, respectful one towards yourself, and you will be more honorable and less resentful towards the other. Hmm. Otherwise, we land up blaming people. Oh, my mother-in-law is so interesting.
Okay. Wait, I'm sorry. We have to go to a break. We're speaking with Rivka Malka Perlman. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we're back at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and the Israeli government is talking about a possible additional 10-day lockdown for the country in order to finally get a grip on the coronavirus. Now, will this happen or not? We don't know, but the number of cases of corona has risen so much higher in the second wave than in the first wave in the country, the hospitals, etc. They're, you know, the government says we don't like the situation. And I have to admit, whether you believe in lockdowns or not, they work. I'm not going to talk about, you know, human rights and conspiracy theories about lockdowns. We're not going to go there now. But on a spiritual level, that's what I want to look at as well, because there's always a reason when something happens in our lives. There's a reason for it. God doesn't just do things, you know, happenstance. He wants us to learn lessons. He wants us to grow and grow closer to Him as well, our relationship with Him. And our guest is Rivka Malka Perlman, who is a transformation coach and educator. And by the way, you can follow her on Facebook, and you can go to her website at rivkamalka.com, and we will post that link on our page where the show is podcasted. So Rivka Malka, when you were talking in the last segment, you were giving us tools on what to do during, if we do go into lockdown, and even if we don't go into lockdown, but we need to do this introspection in our lives to put our lives on a better path. You know, we've been on the treadmill. You know, go to work, make money, pay your bills, go to synagogue, or go to a place of worship if you're not Jewish, et cetera, et cetera. And this has just been on a treadmill all the time. And perhaps God is trying to tell us, hey, slow down. There's another aspect of life that we need to concentrate on. And you spoke yourself about how the family was together during prayers, tefillah in Hebrew, as you say, and then you were talking about trying to remove unhealthy relationships in your life. But I was asking, what if these relationships are things that you can't remove, that we really need to work on to improve, because maybe that's what God wants us to do as well, like a spouse or children or someone else in the family. So I'm going to hand it back to you now.
Great. So I'm gonna rephrase so that I don't give the wrong message. God forbid to remove the relationships. I did say let go. I misspoke. It's not correct the way that I expressed it. The correct way to express it is to work on the relationship. And specifically to look at your own behavior, where you might be doing something that is not causing you joy and blaming the other. Because whenever we get into blame, we get into distance from the ones that we love. So that would be really what I needed to express. I'm glad we had a break so that I could regroup my thoughts. this is how I see it, Tamar. It's a tool and it's also an understanding. I don't believe that God punishes us. I just don't believe that. Within every punishment, within everything that looks harsh, is actually a redirect towards a sweeter experience. So what could this redirect be? Where is he redirecting us? Like even deeper than a lesson, like a very loving redirect, like a GPS that's taking us home. And what we're meant to live in, how we are meant to live, is in delight, not in the exhaustion of, like you said, work, come home, no time for love, no time for family, no time for relishing life. And so like this whole big gift of life, it gets wasted. And I believe that Hashem, he wants us to like receive his gift with open arms, of his gift of life, and not to make the mistake of thinking that we need to carry it for him, or we need to carry everything ourselves. To learn to dance again, to dance in your living room again, to learn what, you know, to take your time brushing your hair, to play with headscarves like you do so beautifully, to get back that piece of delight that's the innocence of a child who relies on their parent, who doesn't think they have to do it all, who has time to play. And I think part of lockdown, the isolation is very uncomfortable. But it's also uncomfortable just to be with yourself, be with life itself, be with these people. There's a discomfort to it. There's like an itchiness to it. And what if there's something here that we can learn about life itself, this gift that we haven't been able to see because we've been too busy?
So a couple of tools that you can put in our pocket before we go.
She asks me to bring it down. Hang on a second, and I'm going to give this some serious thought. Okay, great. Tool number one. The first person you need to delight in is yourself. Sit down and make a list of all your positive qualities. Do that so you know who is this person in lockdown. Don't let your negative thoughts be your company. Write that list of your positive qualities. And when you're done writing that list, put it on the side and write another list. Continue, because that is just the tip of the iceberg of who you are. And then when you're done with that list, keep writing, and don't just write your positive qualities. Write the whole mess of it. Even the things you think aren't so amazing, they're all you. And this is the person that you're going to be spending time with. And keep that list somewhere and let it surprise you. If you do this well, you can have so many things on there, and you don't need to be scared to absolutely fall in love with yourself. It's what Hashem wants. He does not want us to feel small and ragged. No, he's calling us to love ourselves. That is tool number one. Tool number two is take very good physical care of yourself, whatever that means to you. If it means eating well, sleeping well, drinking your water, doing your yoga, whatever it is, you live in that body. And if the body doesn't feel well, you don't feel well. Your body is where it happens. So take good care of it and actually reconnect with it. Rav Orlowick said something so interesting. I love this line of his. He said, if you're in a hurry somewhere, do not take a child. It's cruel to a child to like hold their hand. Come, come, quick, quick, quick. Children hate that. Our body hates that. It's like a harshness to it. You have to do this. You have to rush. The body is like calling out to us. Could somebody treat me nicely? I'm like at service 24 hours a day. You know, don't ignore me. I'm holy. I'm here for you. Could you be here for me? So tuning into that, especially in Western culture where we have this mistaken idea of like the body just needs to look a certain way. No, be in the body. That's where we're going to find life. So take on a physical practice that's going to keep you grounded. During the whole first part of Corona, I had a morning yoga practice. I never thought I'd be doing yoga, trust me. But so it happened. Now I go walking because I'm allowed out. That would be my second tool.
Okay, so the body, they say, is our temple. And yes, if we're not healthy, we can't serve God so well either. I just want to end this interview with a very short story, if I can, about the idea that there are no limitations in what we can achieve in our relationship, in growing our relationship and growing closer to God. And I just want to share this story. It was very cute because a lot of people are wanting to make Aliyah. I'm moving to Israel now with all that's happening, and it seems overwhelming at times, and we forget that God is in control and God can do anything. And so there's a very cute story. I don't remember the name of the rabbi who shares the story, but he talks about this guy who is living in Israel. I think he was an Olé, an immigrant, and he's in Jerusalem, and he parked, and it's city parking. It's very hard. People, it's very tight, and he was trying to get out of a parking space. Somebody had parked very close to him, and people were helping him. Yes, go back a little bit more, 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 and then all of a sudden, bam, he hears a crash, and he hit a car, and he's like so bummed out. He's like, oh no, look at this. He goes out, and he sees he damaged this car, and he tells the people, why did you tell me to move back that I had room? And they said, well, you did have room before, but you know, now you don't. And so he was like really bummed out, and he couldn't find the driver. So he left a note and he said, I'm very sorry. I'm the one who hit your car. This is my number. Please call me and you know, I'll take care of it. So he gets a call later on in the day, and it's the owner of the car. And the owner of the car says, I took it in. It's going to cost 8,000 shekels to fix, which is like around roughly like $3,000, something like that. And the guy's thinking, okay, listen, don't sue me with your insurance company. I'll pay you the money. That's exactly the salary that I make every month, and I'm going to pay you this 8,000 shekels next month if you can just wait. So the guy agrees, and the next month comes around, and the guy's thinking, the one who hit the car, he's thinking, oh no, you know, what am I going to do? Like, I have the salary I can give him, but then how am I and my wife going to live if we don't have this month's salary? And he's really bummed out, and the wife tells him, look, pray to Hashem, pray to God, and God will somehow help. He can do anything. And the husband says, hey, what's that going to do, praying to God? You know, what's he going to do here? And she says, you don't know, just pray, you know, just talk to Hashem and ask him to help you. So he does, and then the next day when he's supposed to turn over the money to this guy, when his salary comes in, he gets a phone call from the owner of the car that was damaged, and the owner says, you don't have to pay me. And the guy's like, what? And the owner says, you don't have to pay me any money. My car was actually this last week or something was hit by an egged bus that took a wide turn, and the egged bus totaled my car, and their insurance is paying for everything, and you don't have to do anything. My car is totaled. There's nothing to pay for. So it was an amazing story, just to remember that God is in control. Don't think that you can't pray for something. God works in mysterious ways, if it's to improve a relationship, if it's to help you out in life, to lead you in the right direction, or even to think, hey, I have to get Rivka Malka on the show with me. So thank you so much, Rivka Malka, for joining us.
Oh my gosh, that was such an awesome story. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're a great storyteller.
Everybody, we're going to be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And during the break, before I said goodbye to our last guest, Rivka Malka, she asked me if I would just give an announcement that, you know, a lot of people really need help and people can't leave their homes. So she has going right now, which I did not know these details, a school of coaching and transformation. And there's a 40% discount. That's a lot of money. 40% discount off. If you want to sign up for that, and you can find out more about that on her website, again, at RivkaMalka.com, and we will link to that. All right, our next guest is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, and he is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored over 70 books and 400 research papers on science, history, and more. And he commentates on Mideastern world issues. And boy, oh boy, there are world issues coming up right now. Did you know that the two people, the two countries that love America the most, China and Iran, I could say three countries, North Korea too. But these countries have gotten together and have teamed up and have signed a military pact together and have buddied up. And guess what? You know, what's that famous saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So with China and Iran teaming up together, and they both don't like America, as we know in Iran, they scream death to America. This is not a good situation, and it's also not a good situation for Israel and for the free world. So here to tell us more about that, welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you.
Where would you like to start?
I wish I knew. a lot of things are going on, and what's really important is that people need to be aware that none of these are going on in isolation. None of these things that we're talking about are isolated. The proposed, it's not signed yet, so it's still a proposed. We have to be careful with our phraseology. A military pact between China and Iran on the surface looks silly. I mean, you know, what's the point? I mean, comparing China and Iran is like comparing a tiger with a pussycat. I mean, you know, the Iran is weak. It's small compared to China. It's large compared to any European country, but it's as large as Germany, but in terms of size, in geography, and in population. But in terms of military power, it's much, much, much tinier than China. So what does China get out of it? So first of all, China gets out of it, they get a 25-year discount on oil that they purchase from Iran. That sounds like a nice deal for China, you know, no big deal. Huh? So they get they get to get their oil cheaper, and the Iranians make less money. But that's not true at all. First of all, the Iranians make a lot more money because right now they're not exporting oil almost at all. A few years ago, they were exporting 2.5 million barrels a day. Today, they're exporting 250,000 barrels a day. So that's an enormous difference. So now they've just upped their oil exports. They have more cash on hand. They have a way to counter much of the American sanctions in terms of actual cash on hand. And they get a lot more than just cash from China in this deal as well. But again, that's not the whole thing. I mean, okay, so if China gets a big discount on their oil, so what? China is cash rich. A big discount doesn't really make all that much of a difference to them. What do they get? Well, they get 40,000 Hezbollah operatives that are armed and trained within the borders of the United States. 40,000. And believe me, many of those 40,000 are operating right now in American cities, causing a lot of the havoc that we're seeing now, and more than 600 homicides in the last 3 weeks throughout America. So that's one of the things that China gets. Remember, you asked me some time ago, is China fomenting the things that are going on in the United States in the streets of America right now? And I said, very unlikely. And I agree. And I still say that it's very unlikely China's fomenting. It doesn't mean they're not taking advantage of it. So in parallel with this, we see Iran and China coming together. We see that in January, the United States assassinated Soleimani, who was the chief the terror chief of the world. And the, inside Iran, there's been a total mess since then. A lot of really awful things are happening throughout Iran through the last few months, and they're increasing over the last few weeks. We've seen many explosions, which the Iranian government has been very careful to explain how all of these are natural occurrences. And of course, it's total lies. And there are many more explosions and many more things of this nature than are getting to the international media. Many more. We've seen five just in the last week. We see that 2 weeks ago, the prime minister of Iraq changed from someone who was pro-Iran to someone who was very, very pro-American. And he's begun to eject from Iraq all of the Iranian proxies and reclaim his country back. We see that there's a lot of talk now over the last few weeks or the last month or so about the application of Israeli law to the settlements in Judea and Samaria and along the Jordan Valley. And the Europeans are making all sorts of threats to us about doing that. The threats are totally empty. They are... I wanted to say something, but you would call it impolite. I'm trying to think of a nice way of saying it. Decrepit grandmas who have nothing between their legs. Pardon me for the graphics. Europeans are irrelevant, and they're about to be made more irrelevant. And I can't go into details on this right now, but immediately after the application of Israeli law to the settlements, there's going to be another process occurring. We're fairly certain of that. This is a prediction. I can't be 100% certain. Another process occurring. And apparently the country immediately to the east of us, which today is called Jordan, and it was basically a fake country created by the British Foreign Office for no reason other than to screw the Jews after they signed an agreement with us, of course. For the last 1,000 years, there has never been one single agreement that Britain concluded with the Jews that they ever kept. Never one. And this is another one that they didn't. So they created this country called Jordan, this false country. But the they created it to accommodate the family who had just been thrown out of Mecca. And so one brother got Jordan and one brother got Iraq. Both countries were false countries. Iraq's kingdom has been thrown out a long time ago. The kingdom of Jordan is about to, the king of Jordan, pardon me, is about to lose his throne. And he will be replaced by somebody who, without going into terribly much detail, intends to change the name of the country from Jordan to Palestine and invite all of his people to finally come home.
Right. I think I know who you're talking about. So this is really big news if this happens. And basically what our guest is saying is that the king of Jordan, King Abdullah, may lose his throne. Politically, he's very weak. And if he does lose his throne and another government comes in, one that is more friendly to the West and would want to call their name Palestine, they could take in the Arabs in the Palestinian Authority and any Arabs who are unhappy here in Israel. Another thing that you wrote me in this last 2 minutes that we have, you said here that China is about, you have information that's possible that China may be making or trying to make a major cyber attack on the United States. And they seem to be practicing in Australia a few weeks ago with a major cyber attack. And I mean, this is big, big stuff. What do you think is going to happen there and would happen there if they did make a big cyber attack against the United States? Would Donald Trump stand for it? And would this affect the elections?
I can't predict what Americans would do right now. I mean, there's so much going on in America. There's so much going on with America between the total mess in the streets of the cities. The cities being burned down wholesale. As I said, hundreds and hundreds of homicides.
And Mordechai, we only have 1 minute left. So we only have 1 minute left. So I need you to be precise now.
But this is intelligence. It's not certainly not a prediction. We don't know that this is going to happen. It appears that China is preparing a cyber attack. And that's interesting because Iran has already done cyber attacks in the United States. So if they combine that capability as well, that makes for a very formidable cyber enemy to the United States. Can the United States withstand those types of attacks? Right now, the United States is ill-prepared to a point of embarrassment.
I just keep thinking about what if they do a cyber attack, what about all those orders from, you know, to China that, you know, they're going to lose a lot of sales from all these Americans who are ordering from AliExpress and eBay and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I don't know. 96% of America's supply of antibiotics comes from China. Can they stop buying antibiotics?
Well,
create a new infrastructure that does not exist?
Interesting. All right. Well, we have to stop there. There's so much to talk about. I wish we had more time. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, thank you for coming on the show. And people, watch the news headlines. And we're going to follow these points that you made here about Jordan, about China, about Iran. This is big,
remember,
heavy stuff.
They're all connected.
Well, you know, the big blue marble, we're all connected in any case, but interesting on a political level that they're all connected. Thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you.
And I want to say thank you to everybody who's been listening to the show. Thank you for listening in. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to email me, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Thanks for being with us.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.